Now, moving on to tennis, and Wimbledon is fast approaching. Novak Djokovic is seeded number two, but you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who thinks he won't add this slam to the two he has already won this year. In the women's singles, world number one Iga Swiatek has not had the best of luck at SW19. Well, I've been chatting to Stephen Higgins, editor of crosscourtview.com, and he started off by assessing who to watch out for in the women's draw.
Iga Swiatek is clearly the world number one and the Roland Garros champion, but despite being a junior champion at Wimbledon, she hasn't done that well at the senior event, and she's still searching to replicate the form that she's shown at other tournaments. Now, coming into the tournament, there's a big three in women's tennis that's kind of been established that have separated themselves. So you have Swiatek, Elena Rybakina, the defending champion, and Aryna Sabalenka, the Australian Open champion. But it doesn't look quite as straightforward as that at the moment, because Elena Rybakina has struggled with a virus since Roland Garros and actually has pulled out of grass court events. And so there's a bit touch and go whether she'll defend at all. Sabalenka, some of her service yips and issues resurfaced a bit at Roland Garros. I still wouldn't put too much stock in that. She's a formidable player everywhere. She's a semi-finalist at Wimbledon before. But just looking at the draw, both Rybakina and Sabalenka are on the other half of the draw compared to Swiatek, which will absolutely delight her, because they're two players who would absolutely have the confidence that they can beat her, particularly on a surface like that where she isn't quite as comfortable. So that's a big boon to her to chase trying to win her first Wimbledon title.
And in terms of the men, is anything popping out for you there?
Well, it's really Djokovic. Everything is about Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon. Unless there is an injury, he defaults himself again, or
I feel a big prediction coming on here.
Freak shock. I cannot see Novak Djokovic not winning Wimbledon. To give you an idea of the experience gap, so we've no Roger Federer, obviously we've no Rafael Nadal. Very few players have even been in a final at Wimbledon, let alone taken on like Matteo Berrettini, who was in the Wimbledon final before, very struggling for injury. You're going back through Andy Murray, you'd probably be the only player in the draw who has anywhere near the same experience. Now, Andy Murray's playing very well, but he's still not the player he used to be. Where you're talking about Novak Djokovic, he'll be chasing an eighth Wimbledon title to equal Roger Federer. And I was just looking at the experience gap of Carlos Alcaraz, who is the world number one and has had a super season so far with five titles, has, after winning Queens last week, his first grass court title, has 9 wins on grass in his career. Novak Djokovic has 109 wins in his career. And I think I made that mistake at Roland Garros with the excitement of Alcaraz had been playing so well and Djokovic was a little bit below par going into the tournament, and they faced each other. And one thing I had learned over the years with those big three guys is no one ever beats them the first time they played them in a big match like that, in a semi-final or final. They've all had to go through, from Tsitsipas to Thiem to Ruud, going back through previous players and previous generations. You don't rock up to the final and play Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal or Novak Djokovic and win it the first time. Medvedev the same. You have to go in, take the pain of your loss, learn from the experience, come back. Often it's a sequential thing where they, you know, lose badly, maybe win a set or two the next time, then are strong enough to win. So this time around, unless something extraordinary happens, I think Novak Djokovic just win the Wimbledon men's title. I can't see anything else.
And if he were to win Wimbledon, it would be a record of Grand Slams in the Open era, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so we're getting into really, every statistic is falling Djokovic's way at this point. So now he has taken that mantle of the 23 titles. He is out on his own on the men's side of things. He's also chasing the calendar Grand Slam again, which is something he can, of course, accomplish. So after Australia, which he owns and has owned for most of his senior career, and the brilliant Roland Garros campaign, Wimbledon is his best tournament beyond Melbourne. As I said, it's very hard to see him not winning that. If he can get that, the one thing with the US Open is that's the place he has slipped up before. He only has, I think, 3 US Open titles, which, given his success everywhere else, is, you know, relatively minor. Of course, people would kill for one US Open title. But yeah, he's really kind of setting himself and separating himself from, you know, we're not exactly sure what will happen with Rafael Nadal. Will he come back at all next year? What condition will he be in? I have my doubts. I think it might be a little bit like Federer, where he wishes to come back in some sort of competitive form, but the body just might not agree at all. So I think Djokovic is very determined to hit like 25, 26 Grand Slams, really create a gap, which is almost impossible to see closed.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. Did I read somewhere that he's only had one practice match on grass ahead of Wimbledon?
Yeah, traditionally, Serena was a bit like that as well. Some players like to play a lot of matches going into the grass because it used to be a month in between the tournaments and now it's down to about 3 weeks. They're so vastly different between, obviously, the slow height spin on clay and the very low bounce, difficult conditions, difficult footing. I remember actually watching Nadal last year, and I suppose I had the privilege. I'd watched him at Roland Garros and then I watched him at Wimbledon. And the difference between him being in his home at Roland Garros, where he just seemed in total control of the stadium. This was his stadium, and you're lucky to be here witnessing him do his artistry. And then he played on Centre Court Wimbledon and he looked so unsure of himself. And he'd already won Wimbledon, you know, he's a legend at Wimbledon just like he is everywhere else. But just the difference in the footing, the difference in the bounce, how the ball reacts, the speed, everything just puts them off when you're coming from a long clay court season of a lot of those tournaments. That's the big challenge, that for Djokovic, he goes off and he just knows that he can train by himself and he can just adjust and he doesn't need to be playing warm tournaments. For the vast majority of all the other players, they need to play the tournaments to get used to that surface.
Talk to me about Andy Murray and Venus Williams. We have timeless, I suppose, legends there in the two of them. And I know, what is it, Williams has something like 90 wins at Wimbledon, which is amazing when you actually think about it.
She has been out for quite a long time, and to come in like a wild card, 43, to still keep going, they do kind of demonstrate just this extraordinary desire to compete. I think Andy Murray, of course Venus Williams is an absolute legend, but I was watching a bit of Andy Murray at he was playing challenger events, the tier below ATP, going into the grass season, and he won both of them back to back, as you kind of would expect given his heritage on the surface. But still, the celebration and the passion to be, you know, a former world number one, a two-time Wimbledon champion, Olympic champion, and he's there playing a challenger, is just the fire inside him just to compete. He just loves competing and loves playing tennis after the hip surgeries and all the different obstacles he's faced. And I just find it incredible. Like, you cannot put that into someone. I think you cannot create something like that. He was just born with that. That is part of the reason of why he's such a great player, an extraordinary player who was almost unfairly dwarfed a little bit by the three guys that he was competing with.
He was so unfortunate to be born at the same time in some respects.
There's no doubt that he would have probably, I'd say, double figures Grand Slams. Like, you easily see five Wimbledons, you know, or six Wimbledons given his ability on the surface. And then he loved the US Open and he loved Australia. Five Australian Open finals he lost. Like, you know, he just was in that era. Now, of course, those players made him better as well, which created this monster when he eventually got to world number one. But the fact that he's still competing, still going, I almost hate when reporters keep asking about retirement and all, because, you know, they will never have someone like him again in the men's game and in Britain. Like, you know, his achievements will not be matched in terms of everything he's done for them. They weren't mad about him at the start, but I think if they
took a little while to warm to him.
Yeah, but in terms of delivering them their first Davis Cup in over 70 years, the first Wimbledon title since Fred Perry, two Olympic gold medals, then all his own achievements in his career. Like, he is and beyond that as well, he's such a brilliant ambassador for the game, never afraid to speak his mind on women's equality in the game. He's an incredibly impressive athlete and person, and it's great to see him actually just still out there.
Fantastic. We've talked about like the big hitters like Alcaraz and Djokovic, and is there anybody in the draw that could possibly, not necessarily cause an upset towards the final end, but maybe cause a bit of an upset or an interest along the way?
Yeah, there's... The men's is tricky because women are so specialised. We could talk about the women's if you want.
Yeah.
So I think with the women's, because it's best of three sets, it's just a little bit easier in terms of a draw where you can make a big impact. Because as we've said like many times before about try take three sets off Rafael Nadal or Novak Djokovic or Roger Federer. But in the best of three, you know, if you can get off to a good start, you can do a lot of damage. At Wimbledon, we do have some specialists who really like the surface. So, for instance, Petra Kvitova.
Yes, and she's in good form.
Is still around, absolutely fabulous grass court player. You know, it's funny how during the clay court season, it almost looks like she's just biding her time. Her obligation is just play these tournaments. Just like, let me just get to the grass. So, won Berlin coming into the tournament, playing really well. Won a tournament earlier in the year as well. can be devastating on her day, still has the game. I think particularly with Świątek, her power is probably level with the other two in terms of Rybakina and Sabalenka. But I could see her, if she played Świątek and she was on her game, she could blow Świątek off the court. That is the one issue Świątek has had. She's so good defensively and she's such a strong player in loads of categories, but she can be overpowered. That's what the other two players have been able to do this season. So she's always there. Barbora Krejčíková, the former Roland Garros champion, likes the grass. Grass favours variety and movement and early hitting, in a sense. You don't have to have all of them. You can have a few of them. So for instance, Daria Kazakina, the Russian player. She's mainly a clay court specialist, although she's very good on all surfaces. But she has such variety. She's such a complete game that she actually plays very well on grass as well. Karolina Muchova, the Roland Garros finalist, adores the grass. I thought it'd be much more likely that she would break through in terms of a major final at Wimbledon than, say, Roland Garros. But she, again, has lovely variety, great slice, great movement, brilliant around the net. Dana Vekic, the Croatian, again, really likes playing on grass. She's kind of a clean hitter. And then Yelena Ostapenko, the former Roland Garros champion, former semi-finalist at Wimbledon, comes to life a bit around this time. Again, that unbelievable power in her strokes where she can just take rallies away from you at the whenever she wants to, really. So these kinds of players who can take the ball early, either overpower or use their variety to bamboozle you, certainly have a good chance to make an impact.
What I'm hearing here is that the women's singles maybe not so clear-cut as perhaps the men's.
I think because I would... Up to a few weeks ago, I thought it was going to be one of the three players who'd win it. So it was either going to be Świątek, Rybakina or Sabalenka. Rybakina is the best of the three on grass. Obviously, she won the title, but even just the way she plays. But now I think she may not make it at all. And what condition will she be in when she turns up? We don't have the track record that we'd have with, say, Nadal or Djokovic or even Serena, where they turn up maybe from an illness or an injury with no preparation, but they do their usual thing. I think she might struggle because it seems to be an ongoing virus that she's had to deal with. So when you take her out of the mix, and when you know that Świątek, as much as she's grown confidence, she's into the semifinals in Bad Homburg this week on grass, she's still vulnerable on grass. It's still not her favourite surface. I think Sabalenka will still be formidable either way. But yeah, that does open up a pocket for players. It is the one thing on the women's Grand Slams, a bit more than the men's, it is easier to break through. We have seen more first-time champions on the women's game than we have on the men's.
Then in the men's single, Stephen, where would your prediction be?
Yeah, if we go, I think just to create some interest, so it's not just the Djokovic onslaught, there are some players who are interesting to watch. I think Holger Rune is one who, of the new generation, he's such a brilliant competitor, spiky competitor from Denmark. He beat Novak Djokovic in the final of Paris last year, which is just... You cannot overstate how big a victory that is indoors to beat Djokovic in a final of a Masters series. And he's grown since then. He's now up to his career high of 6. Has had deep runs everywhere this year. And he had a title in Munich. And he just won his title actually in Munich. I remember he was down a set and a half and struggling with injury against Boric van der Zandschulp. And it kind of looked like there's absolutely no way he can win. And he was cramping and he's giving out about everything. And he still just had that desire to win. He had that kind of Murray-like desire. Or, you know, Djokovic even, that I don't care what's going on in the world, I have to win this match. I won't let you win this. And I think he has a great personality as well. Some people are a bit put off by some of the histrionics, but I think he's just absolutely focused and determined to win titles. And he has a good game for grass as well. He can take the ball quite early, hits the ball flat, has good variety, brilliant athlete, as you would expect at that level. And yeah, I think he can do some damage. Another one would probably be Jannik Sinner, who obviously quarterfinalist last year, hits the ball incredibly well, has beaten Alcaraz recently. They have a nice burgeoning rivalry, and he can do some damage. Like, if he kind of gets going, the one thing with Jannik Sinner is health has been an issue. He has struggled with injuries at various points. And then, of course, I suppose, are, you know, what will happen with Nick Kyrgios? Will there be a Nick Kyrgios? Always that question.
Always entertaining, if nothing else.
Yeah, so last year's finalist, obviously an extraordinary player on grass when he's in the mood and he's fit. Unfortunately, he struggled with knee injury basically all season. He has barely played. He was supposed to play some warm-up events for Wimbledon, but pulled out of them. He did his usual kind of bravado of, I think it was an Instagram post about how he's ready to go and posting a picture from the All England Club. But we'll see. You know, you never know what you're going to get with Kyrgios. I think the bigger disappointment while it's great that he got to the final, is a lot of times the body has let him down as much as how people think about his application or his desire. So he may be fully focused to try replicate that run, but is the knee up to it?
Okay. But really, what we're really saying is Djokovic is probably going to win it.
I'd be shocked if Djokovic didn't win unless something extraordinary happens.